mercy, and peace to you all from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson for today is the basis of today's sermon, especially these words. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold throughout all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out. Thus far the reading. Good morning, Mount Olive Lutheran Church. Christ is risen! Never get tired of hearing that response. It's so good. And here we are living in the afterglow of Easter, both in reality and also in the season of Easter. It's so wonderful. I love it. It brings a smile to my face. Here, though, in our text, we have an interesting situation that is happening that is in light of the resurrection. We'll get to it in a moment, but just pin that in your thoughts for now. Because as much as I like Easter, and believe me, I do, I love the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins that comes from it, I think sometimes we forget the rest of the world, and sometimes us ourselves, even in light of Easter, forget what that really means. Before I was a pastor here at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, I worked at the Sara Lee Pie Factory. Some of you know this, some of you don't. And before that, I was in South Dakota as a pastor. I just had a year in between where I took off. And so if you have had one of Sara Lee's famous pies, there's a really good chance that I had nothing to do with it. Not because I made a bad pie, but because I made no bad pies, because I was part of sanitation. I cleaned up after everybody. So, in any event, I'm there, I'm showing up for my evening shift. It's about 9 p.m. I'm putting on my hard hat, I'm putting on my suspenders, I'm putting on my boots. And I'm in the locker room, and one of my coworkers comes in. His name is Thomas. He's a good guy. We get along. He's a bit stoic, I think is the best way to describe him. But he's coming in fuming. You know, he's snorting. He's shoving things in his locker. Man's agitated. Hey, Thomas, what's wrong? What's going on? He's like, ah. Just came from a family member's funeral. Oh, all right. I can understand that, but why so angry? Funerals usually invoke sadness and sorrow. Why are you angry? He's like, ah, because of what the pastor said in the sermon. That cuts a little close to home. I got to dig deeper. I got to know what was said. So I pry and said, was everything all right? This family member, were you close? He's like, I hated him. All right. Why'd you go? He said something along the lines of, I didn't like him, but, you know, you got to go to a funeral, make an appearance. Essentially something along the lines of, anybody can behave for an hour. Right? Now, he didn't like his family member. He thought he had done a lot of bad things in life, but he was going to sit there in the church for the funeral. And the pastor gets up and he says, this man laying here is a sinner and he's done many terrible things. But this man, he is one of God's children and has been saved through grace in Christ. And God has forgiven him his sins. And he said, and then I got up and I left. Because how could you say that? But after the things he had done. I was a little flabbergasted. Because That's the best part. Like, that's the meat and potatoes of the scriptures. Hey, Christ has died for your sins. Your sins are forgiven. And he's like, he's done too much. And the fact that he got a funeral was too much. He can't be forgiven. I think an empathetic point. I didn't dig deep into the details of why he was angry. It really wasn't my business. But I think we all get that attitude. Right? It's all right to forgive somebody's sins if it's something minor, it's something small. Ah, yes. You took one of my tools without asking. Yeah, that's inconvenient, but I forgive you. You ate my sandwich in the fridge. I was looking forward to eating that. I made that sandwich for later. I forgive you. Your spouse cheats on you. That's a bit harder to forgive. You murder somebody. You don't want to forgive. This man is a pedophile. No, I can't forgive him. It's easy to forgive the little sins, but we have certain things that these things are beyond the pale, and if you commit them, you are outside of polite society. You are outside of anything. We don't even want to see you go somewhere where you may have served your time in prison, but we don't want anything to do with you. Get out of here and don't come back. Now, if we might unpin our story for today, we have Peter speaking to the Israelites, and he hits them with a hammer. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But is an odd word. It's so impactful because it has this amazing quality to it. The word but instantly wipes out anything that came before it. You murdered the author of life. But you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses to this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. You've cheated on your spouse, but God has forgiven you. You have murdered someone, but God has forgiven you. You have harmed children in ways that are absolutely despicable, but God has forgiven you. This is the amazing power of forgiveness that comes from the Lord. The Lord showers his forgiveness upon sins, both small and great. And I think sometimes when we try to relate to one another, we struggle with that. But the Lord, when he says but, he blots out all that has come before. When you come to the Lord in prayer to ask for forgiveness, or you come before the altar and receive the body and blood of Christ, you say, "Lord, here are my sins." And the Lord says, "But I have taken these away." Here in this post-Easter season, we get to dwell in that blotting out of sin, in this moment of which Christ, his death, his resurrection, and what it means in our lives. That no matter how big or small, Christ's love is so vast and so wide that no sin is too great. And with that, I tie back to the very beginning of the sermon that with joy and with triumphant hearts, we say quite eagerly, "Christ is risen!"
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.